It's good to be here tonight. Take your Bibles and open to the book of Hebrews. We're going to take a little break from our Jeremiah study and just been thinking about Thanksgiving. And tonight we want to talk about some verses here in the book of Hebrews. They're really familiar verses, and you've probably heard about maybe 5 million messages or so, I don't know, on some of these. But I think it's good for us to be reminded of these things, especially when we're near this time of the year. And of course, as the pastor has emphasized, in all things give thanks, and every situation of our life, every changing circumstance and everything that we don't fully understand. That's what the Lord's asked us to do. So let's look at some of these verses here in the book of Hebrews. They may start out and seem kind of strange, but we'll get to what we're talking about here. Beginning in verse number 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Kind of thinking about that word sacrifice. And of course, when we think of the word sacrifice, our mind automatically goes back to the Old Testament. We think of maybe the tabernacle or the temple. We think of the priest. The book of Leviticus, of course, that lays out several different types of sacrifices. The burnt offering, it was a grain or meal. There was a peace offering, a sin offering, a guilt offering, a variety of things that the people would do to bring in. And some of them were for praise. Some of them were for they needed to be cleansed from sin. And here, of course, we as Christians have the fulfillment or know the fulfillment of those sacrifices in Christ. But the Lord has called us to know some sacrifices in our own heart and life. Of course, he fulfilled them, but we read that we as believers are still priests. If you look just a book over to 1 Peter, hold your finger there in Hebrews, and you think, you know, well, the Old Testament's over with and done, so we don't have to do anything the Old Testament says. We don't need to think that way, of course. But here in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're also called to be priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then go down to verse number 9 as well. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we could continue reading about the things God's done for us there, but now, the point is, just because the Christ fulfilled the Old Testament doesn't mean that we don't have to have sacrifices, if you want to think of it that way. As it's mentioned here, we're believer priest, if you want to put that term in it, believer priest. And we are able to offer spiritual sacrifices. The book of Revelation, I've always thought this is unique. Just listen to this verse when John begins in Revelation chapter 1, and he's talking about who he's writing, and he says, from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In verse number 6, what did he make us? And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are not, of course, in the Old Testament sense, out there, you know, sacrificing animals maybe in our backyard or something. I would hope not. Or having some ritualistic things that we go through. But as Peter said, and as John says, we're priests, and as Peter says, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. So I got to thinking about that word sacrifice, and then back in our passage in Hebrews, we see couple of times that the word sacrifice is mentioned there. Now, when we think of just the term in general, sacrifice, we think of I'm giving something, that I'm giving something, maybe something. We hear a lot, you know, I'm going to sacrifice here and do this. Or we hear stories of people that have sacrificed for their families or whatever the case may be. You're giving of yourself, giving up something that involves humility, of course, to not think so much of yourself that you aren't able to give those things up. I don't know, we're getting near Christmas time, and I really enjoy giving gifts when I can. I get a lot of fun out of that, and I don't know, I just always have enjoyed it. My wife's birthday present already came in. And I asked her today, do you want me to give it to you early? I'm just so excited. I can't wait to give her present. Of course, she's going to say yes because she knows me that I'll go out the day before and I'll feel bad that she won't have anything to open on her birthday and I'll buy her something else. And so, you know, she knows that I love giving gifts, especially to her. So she's all about me giving her that one so I can go get her another one. never fails. I'll go out Christmas Eve and I'll think I'm done, and man, I got to get my wife something else. Just, you know, go out and buy her something else, I guess. I enjoy giving gifts, and that's, you kind of sacrificially give. We think of that even in ministry. We think of those that have sacrificially given to missions or whatever it may be. I think of the widow that gave of her one mite. That was a sacrificial gift to her because that was about all she had. And so she's giving of herself and giving that large gift to her, to the Lord or to the temple in that situation. And so sacrifice has the idea of I'm giving something. If you think of that famous verse in Romans chapter 12, let's quickly, I know I'm going to several verses, let's quickly look at that verse. Hold your finger in Hebrews, we're going to come right back. Or if you just want to listen, you all know this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We know the rest of the verse. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we're called here in the New Testament as believers to present. That idea means to exhibit or to stand beside. It's almost as if you had a booth or something at one of those craft fairs or something like that. And maybe you have crocheted some hats or something and you're standing out there wearing the hat. You're presenting what you're trying to sell. That's kind of the idea here. It's to exhibit. Do we in our bodies, as this passage tells us in Romans, do we present or exhibit a sacrifice in our bodies? Is the way that we live and what we do, and Romans talks a lot about these things, about it, yielding our members, not as instruments of sin, but as instruments of righteousness. And as I yield my body to the Lord's service instead of my service or the things I want to do, then I can actually be a living sacrifice to the Lord. To use my body to exhibit a life that's honoring to God and honoring to the Word. It goes on to say it's to be a holy or separated sacrifice, an acceptable one. So our life is to, in general, and with our bodies, to be a sacrifice to God. And of course, sacrifices were to show gratitude. Sacrifices were to show praise. And sacrifices are me giving something over. And in this case, you think about what your body or your flesh naturally desires to do. Our sin nature that naturally desires to do some things. But to sacrifice our desires for what the Lord wants. To sacrifice the things that I naturally want to do. And the more I'm conformed to Christ, the less I desire those things. And the more I desire the things of God's Word. And the more I'm sacrificing that holy and acceptable living body to the Lord. So it's so easy for maybe our words to be a sacrifice and what we say. But then in our lives, maybe we're secretly doing things, or maybe we aren't sacrificing over our lives to the Lord. And that's kind of what Paul is talking about in Romans. But now over here in Hebrews, I want to look at just three quick things that are mentioned in these verses. You may not be able to see all of them right off the bat, but we do see the word sacrifice mentioned a couple times in Hebrews chapter 13. What are some ways, and of course you can look at Bible commentaries, and there's a variety of them that talk about these three things. It's nothing new. I'm not some great prophet or something. I'm just read and study, and here's what a lot of people have said. There's three things here that you can see as a Christian, as a believer, that you can give as a sacrifice to the Lord. So what are some things, even at this Thanksgiving time, that I sacrifice to the Lord, and in doing so, I'm giving glory to Him. I'm giving praise to Him. And as I continue to live year after year and doing these things to the Lord, I'm glorifying His name. Now, in Hebrews here, with that groundwork of presenting our bodies, what are three specific sacrifices that are given? The first one is in verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, Jesus also, that chapter 13, verse 12, He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, that picture, not to go back into detail, is the picture of the scapegoat. I don't know if you remember the Day of Atonement with the Israelites. That one day, you know, where the priest would lay his hands on the one goat and he would repeat all the sins of the people and repent of the sins of the people and confess the sins. And that one goat would be taken as a scapegoat and would be taken out bearing the sin and left out alone in the wilderness. He's bearing the sin, and since he has that sin, it's kind of a reproach, as this verse says. This is, we don't want to be around that. He's outside of the camp. But verse 13, we are to therefore go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We can even call this the sacrifice of reproach. The sacrifice of reproach. It's when we bear the Lord, we identify with the Lord, we identify with Jesus Christ, that there is going to be a reproach brought upon you by the world. and by those that do not know the Lord. And that is to be a sacrifice to the Lord, a sacrifice to God. And He's receiving glory as we identify with Christ, whether people like it or not. And again, you know, it may not seem that big of a deal here in America. It's becoming, I think, worse and worse, or harder and harder to people identify with Christ. You get made fun of, perhaps. But I think about those that live in countries where it'll cost them their life if they identify with Christ. Again, I remember as a boy, we in the 80s, I'm dating myself a little bit. The kids in school, they just can't believe that somebody was alive in the 80s. But I like to joke around with them about that. But I remember in elementary school writing letters and praying for the people in Russia that met out in the woods. I don't know if any of you remember that. I remember as a boy in our Christian school, we'd pray for them. And we wrote letters to some of them. That our school had a contact over there somehow. I don't remember all the details. But I remember thinking, wow, those people had to go out in the woods. And, you know, we've seen videos about that, you know, and you know, I think it was Gorgi Vins, is that the one that was the Russian? And he was put into terrible concentration camps for just simply preaching, for trying to worship together. Well, to the Russians, that was a reproach, and they still identified with it. Even in the prison when they were made fun of, I don't know if you remember that story, they still identify with Christ. And then in America, it's easy, you know, we can have freedom of assembly and all these things, but sometimes we're, oh, they're going to make fun of me if they see me praying over my food, or if they, you know, little things in life, they see me that I have a testimony for Christ, or if I'm witnessing to somebody, they might make fun of me at work, what am I going to do? And we kind of, oh, that's a reproachful thing. Now, the idea of reproach here is, again, talking about a reviling of the character. Oh, look at him, I did all Christians over there. It can't be, you know, anything good coming out of those Christians. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about us identifying with Christ. Listen to these verses in 1 Peter. He says, "For here, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." If you go back and look at verse number 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, in other words, your behavior should be a transparent and honest and genuine behavior before the non-believers, that whereas they speak against you, oh, we can't handle the world speaking against us, making fun of us. Well, it says they speak against you as evildoers, but by your good works which they shall behold, which means I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice to the Lord, and they see that, what will happen? They will glorify God in the day of visitation. They may not fully understand, they may make fun of you, but who's getting the glory? God is going to receive glory. And there's going to be a message and a testimony toward the Lord in the midst of that. So here, the sacrifice of reproach. Are we willing to be reviled? Are we willing to identify with Christ, even though it may not be the convenient and the cool thing to do by the world standards? The sacrifice of reproach. Let's move on to the next one in verse number 15. This is very familiar, and this kind of goes right along with our Thanksgiving theme here in verse 15. When we skipped over verse 14, I don't mean to. For here have we no continuing city. Why is the world going to revile you and reproach you? Because you see a different city. At the end of the verse, we seek one to come. We seek something future where we know, because God's Word tells us, how it's all going to end. And we know that eternal city with our Lord, and that He's going to be getting the glory and the praise and the kingdom forever and ever. And we're identifying with that kingdom. And since we aren't identifying with the world's city that they're looking for, you're going to be reviled. You're going to be reproached. So we have no continuing city here. We're not looking for the future here. We're looking for the future in heaven. And since we're doing that, there's going to be some reproach. So by Him, therefore, verse 15, since we're looking for that future city, since we don't mind getting reviled and reproached, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So not only the sacrifice of reproach, but secondly, as this verse says, the sacrifice of praise. Can I offer praise to the Lord? Or does everything that happened, I somehow bring it back to myself of how great I am? Or how I'm just wonderful to work this, look what I did here, and boy, I really did a good job. You know, so every time I know in my life that I've caught myself thinking, you know, I handled that pretty good. You know, did it pretty good, Mr. Opega. Took care of that situation. What's going to happen next? The great fall, right? And sometimes we think, well, we took care of that. I need to sacrifice, and it shouldn't be a sacrifice. It should be just in humility, knowing that it's the Lord that does everything. It's the Lord that guides and directs, and the Lord that uses us. And it should be a humbling thing that God uses us. And so then we should turn that directly to praise to Him. And this is why I think, you know, I think that doing testimony services like we had last Sunday, that was a blessing to my heart as well, as the pastor mentioned, such a blessing, that testimony service, to hear what God's done. What is that? That's verse 15. We're giving a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, it should be, number one, of praise. It's things that we're thankful for, things that we're praising God for. It should be, secondly, something that's continual, which means not just in our Thanksgiving service once or twice a year. It should overflow out of us constantly. When the Lord does something and we just are awed by His greatness, to say something. It could be something as simple as driving in the car and seeing a beautiful sunset. And I know Alyssa, I like to watch Alyssa on Instagram. She always posts the favorite skies of the month. She's really good at that. And she'll post like beautiful skies that she's captured throughout the month, and she'll put them in an Instagram story, and you just flip through them, and man, the sky sure is beautiful. It could be something as simple as saying, Lord, You did that. Your beauty and of creation, and just praising His name for something like that. Or just driving in the car, looking around. I love looking at scenery. I love driving to places I've never been before. I like to see all kinds of neat things. I'm very jealous of Brother Bob here. He gets to go to Alaska and things. I'd love to make it there one day. I'd love to see God's beauty and handiwork up there. And you just think, the Lord did this. A sacrifice of praise continually, even over just little things in our life. Or little things that happen, and you know, I know Mr. Woods and I joke about it sometimes, about being forgetful. Not you, but sometimes he'll say, you know what, I've lost my wallet, and we need to pray that I'll find my wallet. Or me, my worst thing is my keys. I am forever late. I had Mr. Brainerd had to save me the other day. He had his spare set, and I don't even know if I gave you your spare set of keys back. Okay, there we go. Then I couldn't remember and went to another panic. I lost Todd's keys. What am I going to do now? And sometimes you just say, Lord, I need to find my keys. Or, Lord, I need to find that pesky cell phone. Or, Lord, I need to find my wallet. You know what? He can help you do that. Something so puny, you say, Lord, thank You for that. Thank You. Sacrifice of praise continually. Not just in the big things of life. And when God comes in and does show Himself mighty, and God delivers, and God does great things. And I've just been thinking over this past few months, the goodness of God to so many in our church that have gone through sicknesses and different difficult circumstances. Wonderful to praise the Lord's name. And that needs to continue in our lives over even the minor things that we think are minor, at least. But in God's eyes, He's just in control. So it needs to be continual. And then next, it needs to be something that is verbally expressed. You know, it's one thing to always have it in your heart and be thankful. But this verse tells us that it's to be the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. Now, I know it's hard to, when I was younger, I was scared to death to talk in front of people. And now you can't get me to shut up, I guess. I'm like, man, is he still preaching? He'd be quiet in there. You know, when you're a young person in high school or something, I always like to see the different high schoolers that take speech class. Some of them just get up there and they just go at it. You know, it doesn't bother them one bit. They're just having a ball up there. And when I was in speech when I was a kid, it was like, well, I got to go up there and, you know, my first message ever at the nursing home, half the people were probably out of it. And I'm up there about to die for all 45 seconds of my message that I spent hours preparing. You know, you're nervous in front of that, but it's wonderful that even people that sometimes are shy can give a sacrifice of praise with their lips and with their mouth. Verbally express what God's done. Even if you're just telling your family or your kids, maybe you're too afraid to say something in front of a bunch of people, that's fine. But at least to your family, or I don't know, maybe it's you and the dog at home or something. I don't know. Maybe the dog will hear it. I don't know. But just verbally express it to the Lord. You know, driving in your car and talking to God, people might think you're a little nuts or something. Crazy person's talking to themselves over there. But you're talking to the Lord, whatever it may be, a sacrifice of praise of the lips. So not just is it continual, but it's also to be verbal, vocalized. And that's a blessing, by the way. Who gets the glory when we had a praise service like we did last Sunday? The Lord. Now, we got edification, didn't we? My soul was edified, and I was encouraged, and my attention was turned to God, and that's when He gets the glory. And that's the whole point. Yes, we're verbalizing it so that he's receiving more glory. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? Verbalizing. Singing of the greatness of our God. Praising his name. And the Lamb is going to keep getting glory for all of eternity. So it's continual. It's verbal. And it is thirdly, thankful. Notice the verse again. The sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, verbally, and giving thanks to his name. It is the content, it's thanksgiving. And I don't need to re-preach all the things our pastors preach that have really enjoyed the messages about in everything give thanks. And that's the will of God for you, to give thanks. When you don't know what else to do, give thanks. When you're confused and don't understand the circumstance, don't, Lord, why are you doing this? And that happens a lot in our lives, doesn't it? Especially when it's a difficult situation, or it's a confrontation, or it's something that you didn't expect to come up this week, and it wasn't on your agenda, and God just went, whoop, there you go. Lord, I don't know why you're doing this, but I got to try to be thankful. And it's hard for us to do that. I know it's hard for me. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And let others around know, this is what the Lord's doing, and I'm going to be thankful in that. And God's glorified when we do this. So, the sacrifice of reproach, we talked about that. The sacrifice of praise, that is to be something that's verbal and continual, and something that is focused on thanksgiving. Again, we've got a wonderful opportunity now at this time of year, but it should be continually, year-round in our hearts, every circumstance, every trial, whatever hardship the Lord may bring, even in the good things the Lord brings, to be thankful to him for all of those things. Then finally, the last one, verse 16, not just a sacrifice of reproach, sacrifice of praise, but now in verse 16, there's a sacrifice of what we can call, I guess it's a phrase, doing good or sharing. You may not see that immediately in the verse. Let's look at it. But to do good and to communicate. Now that word is that famous word that we hear, koinonia. It's fellowship, and it actually has the connotation of sharing. Sharing. There's many, many translations that take that word. If you look in an interlinear lexicon or whatever, it's going to put the word sharing there is how it is translated. To do good and to communicate or share, forget not. You think, well, that's me literally acting. What was the last one? It was my mouth. Speaking. That I praise the Lord. But now we're a step beyond that. What about our actions? Are we acting sacrificially in a way that the Lord is going to keep receiving the sacrifice of praise? Doing good and sharing. We use our resources to help others. Now, this is very practical. This is very practical. What we were able to do to just give money to missionaries, or there's a brother or sister in the church that's in need, or a family that might be going through suffering. Are we willing and ready, without complaining and murmuring, to use our resources for the good of other people? Or are we just I don't want to spend that. I don't want to give that. That might hurt me. We have to have a heart that is willing to pour out for others. It says, forget not. Why? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, I'm personally blessed when I hear of people in our church that silently give things. You know why that's a blessing to me? Because that person didn't do it for glory or to be noticed. They just did it. Hey, so-and-so needs this. Send it to them. All right, we want to announce today that brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so each gave blah, 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 blah. No, it's when it's done, even that way, the Lord's getting the glory. Do good and share. Communicate. Forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sacrifices of praise extend beyond what we say. That was the last verse. But now to include what we do as well. You know, don't be so self-centered and so self-absorbed to the point that we don't even see needs. That we don't see needs. And again, there's very practically, there's physical needs. There may be financial needs. There may be monetary needs. But again, also, there are spiritual needs. Can we also see Sharing is not just, again, practical, it's also spiritual. Fellowshipping together and sharing something that may help somebody in a time of need. And the Lord said, lift up our eyes and to look. The fields are wide into harvest. To see the needs not just monetarily or practically, but also spiritually. But if we're so self-absorbed and we're turning inward that we never look outward, we can never notice if brother so-and-so might be going through a hard trial. And I'm going to go up to him. I don't know why, but I'm just going to say, brother, I've been thinking about you this week and I'm praying for you. And if you need something, let me know. That's embarrassing to me if I do that. Well, we're never going to see it if we're in. Yeah. Yeah, we have to look. I look for that at least all the time for our students. You can tell when a student's going through something. You can tell. And sometimes just pull them aside. Hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? I've been praying for you. And I want you to know that we're here if you have any questions spiritually or if you need anything. You got to be wide. Look for those things. What about our church family here? Looking outward. Not just, yes, monetarily. We need to be there to share and help. Practically, there's a need or so-and-so has something going on at their property. They need some help over there. We're going to get over there and help. But what about spiritually as well? The fellowship together in Christ. Our responsibility to lift each other up, to edify each other, to build each other up, to recognize when there is a need to communicate, to share. Because why? So you see what I did there? I just talked to brother so-and-so and I really helped him out spiritually with my great wisdom. And I'm going to give a testimony. Brother Todd, I just want you to know that a couple weeks ago I was impressed and I went to brother so-and-so and I just was such a big spiritual help to them. Who's getting the glory? Not God. For such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God's well pleased. I'm fulfilling my role as a believer who has been made a priest to God. When I'm doing the sacrifice of reproach, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of good, the sacrifice of sharing and looking out to the others. The sacrifices of praise to God are our bodies separated, as we read in Romans chapter 12. Our testimony might be reproached, but our lips continually giving thanks and our resources being used to help. These are the thanksgiving sacrifices, the thanksgiving sacrifices that we want to emphasize and think about. Again, not just this week, but as a part of our daily Christian lives. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word's so practical, and it helps us to get out of ourselves. It helps us focus on you and what you would have us to do. It helps us, Father, instead of turning inward, to look outward. And Father, we do truly thank you for this body of believers. Father, we thank you for their heart. We thank you for their spirit of fellowship and spirit of sharing. And Father, I pray that it would never just be just out of our lips, out of our mouth, but also in our actions. And Father, encourage us in that. Strengthen us. We thank you so much for the edification we've received by being part of this church. And help us, Father, to continue that to those that are in need, those that are around us, those out in other places or other churches or other ministries, to always be a blessing and an encouragement, Father, to give that sacrifice to our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward, Father, to the time of eternity, that city yet to come, where we will be with you for all of the rest of eternity, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us hope in that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.